You are a slut pig!
Hey y'all, I'm Christian Gray Snow, and this is the Slut Pig Podcast, a podcast from The Dip. And today, we're talking tossing salads in Potomac, and we're touching on part one of the iconic four-part Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Season 11 reunion, all with the one and only Kiki Monique, aka the Talk of Shame. Small talks like small dicks, and just like Erica James said in this week's reunion, we want big dicks only. So let's get started. Well, if you love bagels and you're a bad bitch, you better already know who my next guest is. She's a co-host of the I'm Sorry podcast. She did investigative research on the actual roads that Tom Girardi wrecked on. The forever fabulous and always lovely Kiki Monique, aka the Talk of Shame. Boo, how's your life been? How you been?
Oh my God, so good. I love coming to see you.
Oh, me too. And y'all, let me just say, she came through so last minute for me because I had some personal things going on in the last couple weeks. I didn't know if I was even going to get to do this podcast, but we got the clear yesterday that I was going to get to record and come talk to y'all. And I was like, I need somebody to come chit chat with me. So I reached out to Kiki and she was like, absolutely. So here we are. And we got a lot to talk about. We're talking Beverly Hills, we're talking Potomac, we're talking, well, the Beverly Hills reunion, which is huge. We're also going to hit on the news that Nicki Minaj will be stopping by the Potomac reunion, which is has had a lot of people talking. But since we last talked, you have taken on the title of co-host for the I'm Sorry podcast from Limonada Media, right? So congrats on that. So tell everybody more about it. Tell us about the show.
You know, it's really, I mean, anyone who was following me from the very beginning knows that, like, a lot of what I talk about, I call myself the queen of callouts, right? That's a self-imposed title. But really, it's like, I want to talk about the nuances of all of these, you know, quote unquote cancelings, right? You know, like, we started off in like a good place calling out corporations who needed it, right? This was like the only way. And we've sort of swung the pendulum so far. Now it's like everybody sort of will be canceled at some point in their life, right? And so I'm sorry, it's really just a chance to just talk about it, give some context, some humanity, some nuance to all these stories. And you know, not saying we have the answers, but we really want to dissect it and do a deep dive into all of this stuff because really it's about empathy, right? We have to see both sides of the story to really understand like what's it all about. So I love it. And it's with comedy, of course. So, you know, there's always some levity.
Yeah, gotta have that. And so it really seems like you're really giving people that have, you know, done the wrong thing the opportunity to grow if they really want to prove themselves. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just like you can't just like say, I'm sorry and move on. It's like, you know, like this is about accountability and changes in future behavior, correct? And allowing people the opportunity to do that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Because I think most people generally are good people. So
we hope, unless you're Tom Girardi, you know. So before we move on, tell everybody when do like new episodes drop and stuff?
Every Friday there's a new episode. So
listen, right at like this is the same day that Slut Pig Podcast comes out. So y'all are double booked and busy. Okay. Y'all got me and y'all got the I'm Sorry pod. So there you go. Before we move on. Is there any housewife you would love to have on to talk about, you know, being sorry for something they've done in the past? Like, who is one housewife you would love to interview on your show?
I mean, obviously Erica Jane, right? Like, that would be really the dream. Erica Jane would be number one. After last night's episode, probably Lisa Rinna, because I just need to really understand.
Okay, well, we're going to get into all that. We're going to get into all that. Well, speaking of being sorry, you know, I personally continue to think that Candace is one of the sorriest housewives that we have in current times because Sunday's episode just really broke my heart for my girl Mia, who, look, Mia is going to come with the Shade Assassin Bazooka too and throw out some shade. Absolutely. That's what we're here for. But I guess just, you know, knowing the backstory, Mia struggles with her mom and her mom struggles, you know, with sobriety over the years. Just seeing, you know, even her, who I think is a strong woman, I saw a little bit of pain whenever Candace was kind of coming at her and saying, like, your mom is low budget on Sunday. And like I said, you know, I love throwing shade and reads with the best of them, but there's something, like, there has to be a line where, like, dark humor, like, there can be enough dark humor in a joke, you know? So I don't know. What are you thinking about what I'm dubbing the lettuce lunge? What are your thoughts? Who do you think is the most guilty, Mia or Candace?
Well, Candace, as we saw in the replay, absolutely threw the first piece of lettuce. So, like...
Hello?
That is on film. We saw it, so...
Like, literally plain as day.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, I already, and I told Mia this, like, I am team Bigfoot because I have big feet, so I'm always going to be on team Bigfoot. And like, you know, Candace, look, her and Mia, clearly from the beginning episode, they did try to start in a good place. But Candace's problem really is that she recycles the same old things, right? Like her, like,
thank you.
Her wide body comments to Ashley. Okay, already discussing enough. But she had done this previously, like a few years ago, we saw it on a blog. It's like the same tired trope. Like, come on, like at least come up with something new.
My whole thing is, as a housewife, you have to be like, you know, when Jennifer Aydin said, I'm a comedian, and everyone laughed at her. As a housewife, you have to be low-key a comedian because you have to be quick and you have to be able to come up with new material and be able to fight your argument. You know what I'm saying? And Candace thinks that just because she's the way that she says certain things that it lands with people. And it's like, well, once you've said that same read 10 times, the levity's kind of gone. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and then her argument is also, and this is what really fucking pisses me off, if I'm going to be honest, is that you want to know what? Candace fans are some of the worst. I will say that. Like Twitter Candace fans, I don't want none of that. But it's their argument, and this is the dumbest argument I've ever seen in my life, where they're like, well, other people have body shamed in the past and y'all laughed at it. It's like, listen, a one-off shady comment is a different story. Like, Karen mentioned Giselle's stovepipe legs one time. Had she mentioned them, you know, more than once and repetitively across multiple episodes, that would have been a huge problem. But also, can we get to the point where... a lot of Candace's digs towards Mia specifically are kind of transphobic, you know, like talking consistently about her big feet and calling her handsome and things like that. But it's like, you know, no one wants to talk about that. But like you said, I just think that, you know, look, we can let, as viewers, I think we can let some shady things go. We can allow you the room to make those mistakes, but when you continue to do it over and over and over again, and then they were telling Candace, like, you don't know her mom. You don't know her mom. She's like, I don't care. I don't want to know.
It doesn't make sense. And it's like, yeah, like, we appreciate shade. It's why we watch the show. Just come fresh and come from a place of, like, not trying to just hurt someone at a very basic level, because it's just not fun.
Yes. Also, like, why can't you talk about, like, her house or talk about her marrying an old-ass man? Like, there are so many things, like, not that her house is bad, but I'm just saying, like, I would pull something out of my ass before I would say that. Talk about her shirt. Say your hair looks bad. Your makeup's whack, you know?
There's like, so I mean, many things, yeah.
You know, you're, like, you're leasing your car. I don't know, like, something. I don't know. I just think that, you know... The Candace fans really allow her to get away with a lot. And I just am not, I'm not really here for it.
Yeah. And then it's like, if you criticize her, it's like they automatically call you a colorist. And then I get really angry because I'm like, I'm not a colorist because I'm criticizing Candace on something at all. That's insane.
And it's not that we're technically criticizing her. We're criticizing her continuing to do one thing over and over and over again. You know, it's just like, we're asking, just... Prove that you can read somebody with some other context. Like, you know, that's the least I ask of you. Also, what cracked me up, and I'm probably the only one who thought that this was funny. I don't know if you caught it, but right when the episode kicked off and they're fighting, when Candace and Mia are fighting, Ashley jumps in and she's like, you don't know her story, Candace. And Candace is like, you don't know her either. And you can barely hear it. Ashley goes, yes, I do. I spent more time with her. Like, just like... And that's right when Mia grabs the lettuce and throws it. And it's just like, and all the while, Ashley's holding that goddamn canvas print of her family.
Like, what is that print about? Like, she really brought that picture just to, like, it was so weird.
I'm crying. I just, and like, again, I don't even know if anyone noticed that, but just the silliest, like, in the middle of Candace, like, fighting with Mia, like, her and Ashley are also like, I know her. No, you don't. Yes, I do. It's like... I'm just stupid. Can we also mention that after she threw the lettuce, she slid whatever it was on the table and was like, you don't want to go there, or you don't want, let's not do that or whatever. And I'm like, Candace, we already talked about her mama. We already threw lettuce. You know, we've talked about her feet. We've talked about her forehead. Let's leave the objects on the table alone. Thank God there were no knives around.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because we know. I'm just kidding. But like I said, so both Ashley and Karen, and you know, they were trying to tell Candace that, you know, like, all shade's good shade, but when it comes to me, is let's just avoid the mom thing here, you know? Like I said, Candace doesn't care. I want to know, if you had to, like, sit down between the two of these women, Candace and Mia, to mediate this situation, where would you start? Because I was trying to think, like, how do I get through to both of them? And I don't know, because I feel like they just don't like each other, and I don't know that they ever will. What do you think about
that? Yeah, I mean, I feel like, truthfully, you start with the moms. Both of them have a difficult relationship with their mothers, and they can find common ground.
Oh, wow.
And it could be a situation, you know how they say when some people are too much alike that they don't get along? Like, that could be the case. We don't know because we haven't gotten a chance to explore the relationship. But I would be like, you know, you feel protective of your mother, even though she hit you upside the head with a purse. And you feel protective of your mother, even though you had a very difficult relationship. You didn't have a relationship with her growing up. And maybe there's something there. You're both very, like, tense about it, because if that anyone who gets their mom talked about, even if you love your mom, you're going to feel some type of way. I feel like I would start there. Like, let's 100. Find some common ground with the moms and, like, let's try to build.
I love that. Look, okay, so we're going to get everybody, please book Kiki for all your therapy needs. We're going to get her over booked over on, like, BetterHelp. You know what I'm saying? She's going to be one of those, like, go-to counselors. Anyway, so before we move on from Potomac, it was confirmed this week that Nicki Minaj will be appearing on the season 6 reunion of The Real Housewives of Potomac. Fans do seem to be split in their reactions. You know, a lot of loyal Housewives viewers clearly celebrate a huge figure, you know, recognizing this franchise that we all love and coming to celebrate it with us, while others think that Bravo is getting into some dirty water given the legal surroundings of Nicki Minaj and her husband, Kenneth Petty. For those who are unaware, there's a lady named Jennifer Huff who is claiming that both Nicki and her husband, Kenneth, have been horrifically harassing her for years, actually, to change her story in regards to a case where Kenneth was convicted in 1994 for attempted rape against Jennifer. I have plenty of thoughts on this. I've actually been thinking about it for days since, you know, Nicki and Andy posted that picture. I still am struggling to put it into words because I want to celebrate what feels like a new era of Housewives and, you know, like maybe taking a step further. And like, I mean, Andy even leaving the reunion is a first time in history, you know? So like, but then to bring in such a iconic figure is like, I want to celebrate that for this franchise. Like I said, that we all love. This franchise at the end of the day is about women and loving women and their stories. And I just don't know how those two kind of coincide given what Nicki is being accused of. So I've been struggling with that, and I just want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird because that was a night that I had been dealing with insomnia, so I had passed out super early, and then I woke up at like midnight and literally opened up Instagram and just like back to back to back to back was the same picture of Nicki and Andy, and it triggered me, right? Because yeah. I was just like, wow, that's wild. You know, I get why Bravo's doing it. Obviously, like, this is going to bring a whole set of fans that maybe didn't even watch Housewives at all, right? So I get it from that perspective. Her particularly, it was just with everything that had just happened surrounding, you know, obviously there was the whole ball gate, which I think is actually just more humorous than anything, but it happened and like whatever.
Yeah.
But all the, you know, she had been on The Real, which Garcelle is, you know, a host of. And Jennifer Huff had been on that show. And so with that interview, it was just an interesting choice because you knew it was going to trigger several people who have dealt with, you know, assaults and sexual assaults and that sort of thing. And, you know, I sort of shared a personal story on my stories that week just because I will admit when I saw her face, it triggered me and sort of past trauma that I had dealt with. But, you know, one of the most interesting parts that or comments someone made was, you know, Brandon Good. We were in a clubhouse and he had made the comment that it also just said something to how Bravo sees its Black shows, that they didn't think the talent was enough to carry the reunion, that they had to sort of pull out these tricks. And that was sort of interesting, too.
Wow.
That I actually thought was more poignant. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very good point. And like, I, again, I'm so conflicted because, you know, again, it's, you know, if you look at Nikki's Instagram, 160 million Instagram followers, she quite literally probably has more Instagram followers than every housewife combined.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally,
yeah.
You know, so, and especially in a time where there has been conversation around, you know, is the franchise on the decline, you know, and Andy saying that we would never have some sort of all-star spinoff or anything like that whatsoever, unless he felt that the franchise really, really was in a place of struggle. And we're obviously, they've already got two seasons in the can. We've already received a trailer for the first season. So, I mean, it makes sense that Bravo's pulling out the stops, you know, but I also am just like, I don't know. And if I'm being totally honest, my opinion, do I think that Nikki loves this show? Sure, of course. I mean, it's easy to love Potomac. Hello. Do I think that there's someone on her team that saw the opportunity to really, really lean into this and really say, you know what, this is an opportunity for you to go on TV, be in the midst of a whole new realm of television and loyal audiences of people who, if they blindly back up, certain, you know, I mean, look at me. I mean, we've over here been backing up, you know, people that have been charged for stuff for years, you know, like at Teresa and Joe and Erica and Jen. And I don't know. For me, it's just a really, really conflicted. I don't know how to look at it. So I applaud Bravo for trying to stay fresh and keep the franchise interesting. But I just really, really, really hope that this doesn't come back to bite them. Especially looking at the timeline. Like, I'm not sure when Nikki's court stuff, because, like, they've been subpoenaed. Her and Kenneth have been subpoenaed. I don't know when this reunion's going to be airing, but it's probably going to be in a couple months. So, something to me and the timeline, it's looking like it's going to be around the same time, which just leads me back to the whole, it just feels a little contrived to
me. Yeah, and it's, And I also thought in that moment, too, I mean, Karen has talked about on the show, like, you know, her history of, like, I think sexual assault. And so I also thought about,
yes.
Like, did she know that Nikki was showing up? And, like, did that trigger her in any way? You know, like, I don't know. And I just, you know, like, you think about those things and it gets a little bit weird. And also, like, since the reunion has taped, you know, Nikki has a new, like, single coming out and she's been going live a lot. And if you follow TikTok, there is a whole backlash, a new backlash going on because, like, the girl she's doing the single with is being accused of blackfishing. And Nikki is like,
oh, that Jessie girl.
Yes.
What's her name?
Jessie is all I can't remember, but yeah. And so, like, she's being accused of blackfishing. Nikki is, like, you know, supporting her. And she's like, you know, the other girl who's black who was in her band is like, she's saying, like, she's just basically a hater. She's jealous and sort of going on those rants and, like, people can do what they want. If she wants, you know, I wear blonde hair and all of this stuff. But it's funny because people are like, well, but didn't you call, like, Miley Cyrus out for blackfishing, like, a little while? Like, you know, it's just, there's been a lot happening online since the reunion's taped. And I'm like, it's going to get.
For the love of God.
So when you hit your star or you hit your wagon to a star, just remember, like, you know, Bravo has to remember, you got to, like, take that all the way.
And I'm also like, if y'all knew this was going to happen, y'all should have literally got, like, 8 editing teams in place for the quickest fucking reunion turnaround possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, they should have not shot the reunion until the week the finale aired. That way Nikki had no time to go out here and be like, getting into any more mess. You know, I mean, really, because who knows what's going to happen between now and then? Yeah. Honest to God.
Yeah.
So, well, and I, you know, I want to tell you too, thank you. Like, I know you said you were very, you know, you opened up about a personal story with you. I'm sure that a lot of, you know, people that follow you, that really meant a lot to see you open up about that, who I'm sure are feeling the same, you know, feeling the same way, just having a lot of empathy for Jennifer in this situation. And I do want to tell everybody, if you haven't listened to Jennifer's story, if you haven't read it, I really, really strongly urge you to do so before you make any judgments about her, before you say anything like she's coming for some clout or anything like that. I really, really urge you to go just listen to her. And I want to say to, you know, her and her kids who have been affected by this, I just really hope that if the time comes that this was turns out to not be a good situation, I hope that Bravo does something to make their pain right. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back, y'all. Has this ever happened to you? You need to see a doctor, you search, you find one that looks good, you wait on hold to book an appointment, of course you rearrange your schedule, and then you finally go in and find out the doctor doesn't even take your insurance. Ugh! But there's a solution, y'all. Just download the free ZocDoc app. It's the easiest way to find a great doctor and instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can search for local doctors who take your insurance, you can read patient reviews and book an appointment in person or through a video chat. You never have to wait on hold with a receptionist ever again. Whether you need a primary care physician, a dentist, dermatologist, psychiatrist, eye doctor, or any other specialist, ZocDoc has you covered. ZocDoc is here to make healthcare easy for you. And now is the time to prioritize your health. All you gotta do is go to ZocDoc.com/slutpig and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free and book a top-rated doctor now. And did you know many are available as soon as today? That's ZocDoc.com/slutpig. Go to ZocDoc.com and download the free app now. Okay, so I wanted to quickly also touch on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Sunday, we saw Jennifer Shaw and Brooks finally sit down for their face-to-face interaction. And for me, it served a bunch of nothing, to be quite honest with you.
No, just nothing at all. It gave you nothing.
Nothing. It served, you know, cold-ass fish on a platter. Like, it was just nothing to me. If it was not for Mary M. Cosby, and, you know, people from her congregation flying through fucking sunroofs, I would be bored with Salt Lake this season.
I mean, that was like, I thought that the Tom Girardi rolling down the hill five times was a funny story. I mean, this isn't even a funny story because it's really tragic, but the way she told it, I mean.
Listen, every time I laugh about it, it's like, I feel like God, like, just like reinforces his decision to not let me into heaven, because it's like, I can't help but laugh, but it is so fucked up. And the poor woman was a mom of two and she was only like 24, 25 years. It's actually fucking horrific.
When these kids like were just like, is she alive? And Mary was just like, nope. They were like devastated. Okay. Devastated.
She said, I'm excited to be here though. Oh my God. Okay. So yeah, basically what I'm saying is if it wasn't for Mary, I mean, we're like six episodes in or something, five or six episodes in at this point, and I feel like it could have easily been condensed to half. How are you feeling about this season? I wanted to see.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, obviously we knew they were going to kick off strong with that first episode, which they did. And then I knew we were going to have to go through some backtracking, but it feels like a lot of backtracking and it's not very exciting. And, you know, we have sort of like the Lisa and is it Angie sort of fighting happening. And that's about it. And yeah.
Well, speaking of Angie and the caterer situation, do you believe Angie, or do you think Lisa's innocent?
Here's my problem. I don't know why, but like, I just love, oh, I know why. I love Lisa because she just is like someone I know that we would just have so much fun hanging out with together. And I just, she does no wrong. Not that she does no wrong, but in Housewives world, she does no wrong in my eyes. And so like, yeah. I'm just going to be on Lisa's side regardless. Like, I'm really glad, you know, Angie had that beautiful moment and I'm glad they got to share about their trans son and all of that.
Beautiful. But beautiful. Yes.
I'm a Lisa. I'm going to be on Lisa's side with this one. And based on the text messages that came out later, you know, it definitely seemed like Lisa was in the right.
Yeah. Can I be honest? Something about Lisa gives me sniper from the vibe sides, like Lisa Vanderpump. I don't know. And, like, just the way, the links that she went to, like, prove that she had nothing to do with it. I'm like, nah, I didn't. And I was like, and, like, even in the moment, she's like, I'm feeling really weird. I'm feeling really, really weird. It was like, girl, Because your ass is caught.
It's true. No, I mean, it's true. But I guess it's like that. That's the level of mischievous that I want from a housewife. And like,
yes,
she
yes.
gives it. And that's why yes. I guess I love it so much.
Like, we don't necessarily need to be worried if someone's going to jail every season. Like, I can have a couple episodes worried if, like, you're going to get your tuna tartare appetizer or not. You know what I'm saying?
Right? Like, this isn't, I'm not watching A&E or Discovery Plus, you know, like, I just want to see some, yeah.
I love it. Do you see Angie joining next season in any capacity? What do you think?
It seems that she has set herself pretty well up for that, you know, like even just like in her online world, I think she just posted trips to Bora Bora or something like that. Like she's definitely setting up her lifestyle to be like, this is what you want to see
girl,
on TV.
I looked up her man, Mania.
Oh, really?
Oh my God. Like his company, one article, they'd had like brought in like $150 million in a year or some shit like that. I was like, okay. And I feel like that goes a long way in Salt Lake City. You know, I don't know. But who knows?
I was sort of dying, though, when that picture, they had posted a picture of themselves, like, kissing from the event that night. And someone, I posted it on my IG, and someone said, like, why did I scroll by real fast and think that Sarah Paulson and Seth Rogen were making out?
Why is that so accurate? Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Well, I guess, yeah, I guess we'll have to see. Fingers crossed that, you know, Jen's ass gets arrested in the next week or two, because otherwise I'm going to need to just set a do not disturb and have a reminder for whenever it finally does happen. All right. Well, we finally also got to kick off season 11 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion. I cannot believe we have been watching these women for 11 years, but I hope to do it for a fucking 111 more. All right. And if I'm being honest, look, was the episode great? Absolutely. But you can always tell based off the first episode of a reunion, it's like, okay, this could have been two parts. This could have been three parts. I don't think we're going to need four parts of this reunion. Four parts is a long fucking time. That's a whole ass miniseries. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tamara's OC wedding didn't even get that many episodes, I don't think. You know? Like, this episode was good, but I'm just ready to get into the nitty gritty. You know? Like, I would rather than be like, we're going to do three parts and one part's like 90 minutes long. Or even do a two-hour part. Like, that to me would be bomb. So, yeah, the episode was good, you know, but, like, Kathy doesn't really come out to the end. We didn't get too much of the legal stuff from Erica. I'm just like, let's fucking go. But Erica does say in the beginning, and I liked this, she said, it is important for people to hear from me that the alleged victims of Tom's alleged misdoings, you know, I want them to be made whole. And I saw some talk online of people being annoyed with, you know, her including the word alleged there, but I'm like, doesn't she have to say that?
Exactly. Like, that's the thing, like, she knows that there are real victims that exist. We know that these people are, you know, victims.
She's just not denying that.
Yeah. It's just that, like, when you're coached by your lawyer, look, we've all dealt with lawyers. Like, you just say, look, we're people who post about other people online. I say alleged every other word just to be like, don't get it
Let
twisted.
Me know. You don't be sending those cis and deceased to me. Okay. Tamara. Gina. For real. I can't afford a lawyer. My lawyer, I'm going to have to go to fucking Craig Conover.
I'm going to be like, is there some sort of like, yeah, LegalZoom.com? I mean, what had happened was I had forgot to put alleged before the cheated on.
No, wait, there actually needs to, there has to be like a fan in the Bravo universe that like you are an attorney and I know you just make enough money that you could do pro bono work for us like Bravo content creators out here when somebody comes for us. So please offer up your services.
I mean, are people just like, I know that some of the Bravos, they do get like these like cis and deceased. Like, is it just coming in? Is it coming in the DMs? Like, where are these?
I mean, I got a threat for one time and it wasn't a DM. I honestly think if I opened my mail to a letter from like a housewife's attorney, I would shit my pants. Full Ramona, just right there in the floor.
You would frame it and make it a t-shirt, be honest.
Absolutely. I would sell framed versions for people to hang in their homes. Absolutely. I love it. Erica also informs us she's ready to start dating and she wants some big dick in her life. And listen, I know a lot of people hate Erica right now. They want to be done with her. Some would be fine with never seeing or hearing from her ever again. But one of my personal favorite storylines for a housewife is that post-divorce single and ready to mingle phase. You know, like we've seen it with Tamra. We've seen it with Camille. Where, you know, we got a little bit with Teresa before she got, with Louie.
Yeah.
So, I personally am just kind of excited to see this phase for her. I want to watch her conquest for cock, you know, that are not cock, that's not decrepit. I mean, y'all, she's been sucking some dusty ass dick for like 25 years. The girl deserves a good layer too, even if she is guilty of these crimes. It's like, well, at least let her get a good dick in her too before she has to go to jail. I mean, my God. So, two things. How do you feel about watching a dating life with Erica? And, you know, a lot of people are saying that Erica should quit. Do you think that she should quit, or is this something you're interested in watching?
No, I mean, I've said all along, look, I like don't agree with like some of the way she behaves online, but I also, she needs to work. Like her entire life has been uprooted and she needs to work. And if you really want the, you know, victims to be repaid, she's going to need to make some money. Like just having her make no money, like doesn't help anybody. And, you know, it's not fair if Tom is like, you know, now putting all of this on her. Cause like he really did. He was the one behind all of this. Like she isn't a lawyer, but yeah, she's got to work. So like, definitely don't think that she should be fired. I mean, it's rare that I think most any housewife, even when I hate them, should be fired. It's like, you have to be giving me like, you know, like, boredom, like, you know, Teddy boredom before I'm just like, oh, you gotta go.
So for you, like the lines for being fired is really just like your story is wrapped up. It's like someone else's turn to tell their story, basically.
Yeah, unless you're totally vile, like a Kelly Dodd. Like that is like the only time that somebody was just so vile, oh, I couldn't take it anymore. But for the most part, like,
yeah,
I need there to be people that don't like each other. Otherwise, what's the point of watching the show?
Hello. Absolutely. Well, we also saw during Wednesday night's reunion, things got heated between Rinna and Garcelle. And honestly, I hate seeing these two argue. I don't know if it's like because they've been like kind of connected for years. And also like, you know, in early Beverly Hills, it wasn't really like a lot of Hollywood affiliated women. It was, but not like actors and actresses, like entertainers, people that we saw in front of the camera. And so now that we're in a phase where we're getting more of that, it's just like the two that, you know, we grew up like kind of seeing on TV. I'm like, can't y'all just like make it, but can't y'all be cool? You know, like I watched Rinna on like Days of Our Lives with my grandma as a child, you know, like I need like y'all to just make it work.
Yeah.
But also what's weird for me is like, you know how sometimes housewives, it's like they just don't vibe for so long, you kind of forget why they're not vibing. And like with these two, I'm like, what was the tipping point? I don't remember. Like, was it Denise? Was it things after? I think it was a lot of things.
I feel like it was Denise. I feel like Garcelle was super protective of Denise, as, you know, a Sagittarian is, very loyal to their friends. And I don't think that she liked the way Rinna treated her, and she was going to, you know, Denise wasn't there to stand up for herself. So she was going to stand up for Denise. And that's why I love it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And she really did stand up for Denise a lot this year. And speaking of standing up for, now y'all know I love me some Sutton. I've had Sutton here on the show, but poor Miss Sutton. Was Sutton even there Wednesday? I think she introduced her dress at the beginning and told Kyle, I almost burnt down your house. And then I think she took a lunch break. I mean, they didn't even really pan to her after that. I mean, I love her, but she, and people were pissed off that she was quiet, that she was on the end. I'm like, well.
Yeah. As Garcelle said, like, I don't need people to stand up for me. Like, she can definitely take care of herself. Would the viewers like to see people chime in? Yes. But I also think that Garcelle would probably drown them out. Like, they might be able to speak up, but we'd be like, hush up. Garcelle is talking.
True. I think it would just be nice to see, like, I don't know. I just feel like Garcelle had, like, there were times that maybe people didn't feel like she had Sutton's back, but she's definitely had Sutton's back more than Sutton has had hers. And I think that Sutton had an opportunity to, and without even being confrontational towards Rinna, just even attempting to be a mediator, like, well, Garcelle, what would make you, use this opportunity to tell Rinna what would make you feel better about me, you know, but she just sat there silent. And I was like, you know, like, this is your friend and your, like, because technically Rinna introduced Sutton to the show. So I'm like, you should really be the one jumping in here.
It's
you
true, know? Yeah.
that's just my opinion. But, and I also, again, Sutton did her job by asking the questions this season, but going back to a house, like, you have to be able to read and you have to be able to throw some arguments and you have to be quick-witted. And I just, Sutton struggles in that department. Like, when someone yells at her or says something mean to her, she just discombobulated between the ears. You know, she just can't think. So, yeah. But, and it's because she's sensitive. I get it. But, yeah, I'm just like, I'm going to need you to amp it up, baby.
Right? There needs to be a boot camp. Like, what boot camp can we send these, like, shy housewives to?
Oh, my God. Like, Kenya Moore's boot camp for housewives. Can yes! you fucking imagine? I want her waking them up at 3 a.m. and be like, tell me the meanest thing you could possibly say to me right now.
I'm envisioning, like, that scene. And, like, remember in Bad Girls Club where Tanisha was hitting with the pots? She woke everyone up with the pots. It's like, yes! I imagine Kenya doing that, except yelling, like, Kenya, more hair care. Get up, or, like, yeah. whatever it is.
Kenya, like, gives them weekly challenges. What is one way you would ruin your enemy's life this week? Like, wait, that shit would be fucking hilarious. Peacock, y'all need some, like, digital content. Here you go.
We're trademarking that.
Yes, I love it. Well, as they were, you know, Rinna and Garcelle were, like, seemingly trying to get to the bottom of their issues. You know, Garcelle, she mentioned that she was told that Rinna said that she didn't enjoy Garcelle bringing, you know, like, the conversations and topics of race into the show. Rinna says, I didn't say that. And even if I did say that, I would have told you that I'd said that. Like, I wouldn't have said that behind your back. First thing, do you think that Rinna said that?
Rinna absolutely gives me the impression that she said it, because I think it would be natural for many housewives in that position to have that same thought. And not that it was a correct thought, but it's like, just own it. Like, I think people were scared of that topic and didn't want to be, well, what's kind of what's happening to her is, like, called out, because they immediately think, you're going to think I'm a racist if I said that. I think, like, it's just, like, a matter of, like, if it was said, it was said out of this, what we saw a lot of white women going through this past year of, like, taking out of their comfortable place. And look, Rinna wants to be online. She wants to dance and she wants everything to be fun. I mean, like, you see her, like, there's a joke set at the table and she laughs uncontrollably. I don't believe anything is that funny, but she wants to just live in this place of, like,
never.
Let's have fun and everything's great. And I think if it was said, do I think Rinna is racist? No, I don't think Rinna is racist. Do I think that she said this from a place of, like, I just don't want to touch it. It just feels uncomfortable. Yeah, that sounds about right. It's kind of what I've been used to seeing.
Okay. That makes sense. Do you think, because, I mean, well, we still have 3 fucking episodes left. But do you think these two move forward? I mean, like, what do you think? Is there a future for their friendship?
I mean, I think that, you're here in Hollywood. Hollywood is a weird place. Like, it's the one place I will say friendships are just, like, they're not the same. I'm just like I'm a New Yorker. And, like, when I meet people, it's like, it's real. It's concrete. And I will say that the friendships in LA are just a bit different. And so do I think that they will move forward in a Hollywood level relationship? Abso-fucking-lutely. But, you know, this is a 20-year friendship that they have close friends that they don't need to be close. They just, yeah.
Wow. So basically she's like, if they both continue the show, they'll be cool. But if either one of them leaves the show, they ain't never fucking talking again.
Yeah, Lisa is never bringing over another sauce to Garcelle if they're not on that show together.
Listen. Know that. She said Harry's Bolognese is staying in fucking Sherman Oaks, okay? All right. Well, before we wrap up, I wanted to see, of course, if you're down for a quick fun round of our Rapid Fire Housewives questions game. Are you down?
Yes.
Yay! So we're going to put 60 seconds on the clock. We're going to get through as many of these somewhat fun but mostly shady questions. Here we go. If you had to ride shotgun on a cross-country road trip with either Tom Girardi or Giselle's daughter Grace behind the wheel, who would it be?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go with Grace.
If you had to fire any current housewife from any franchise, who would it be?
Candace.
Ooh, whose reunion do you think will end up being better, Potomac's or Beverly Hills?
Beverly Hills.
Oh, wow. Karen's candle or Wendy's candle?
Oh, Karen.
Yep, I agree. Will Jen need to be replaced next season because she's incarcerated?
Maybe not. She'll probably, like, it might take a while to get her behind bars.
She's like, we got another season left for sure. If you could have dinner with any housewife in history tonight, who would it be?
Oh, my gosh. That one's so hard. Maybe NeNe?
Oh, that's a good one. Yes, 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 yes. You could have dinner at the Lanithia, okay? Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Kiki Monique, a.k.a. The Talk of Shame, for joining me today. Remind everybody about your podcast. I'm sorry. I know we said it earlier, but just tell everybody when new episodes are out, where they can find you on Instagram, all that good stuff.
I'm Sorry is available wherever you get your podcasts. It's by Lemonada Media, but you can find it anywhere. And you can find me at The Talk of Shame on TikTok and on Instagram.
There you go. And if y'all ain't rushing over to follow her now, then we're going to have big fucking problems, okay? All right, everybody, thank you so much for being with me today. I just want to say so sorry that I wasn't able to bring you guys an episode last week. It was very complicated. We'll see if we can talk about it some other time. But I appreciate y'all hanging tight and hanging with me in there and coming back and listening this week. I hope y'all have a fantastic weekend. And I will see you next week with more gossip and fun. Love y'all.